We're up to Pasuk Gedalet. We are in the middle of Pasuk Gedalet. Let's review one more time. Perek Beis, Pasuk Gedalet, Vayomer, Lo Boaz, Lo Esa Ochel, Go Shalom, V'yachalt Min Alechem, V'yotaval Pidech Bachimetz, V'teish V'tzara Koitzrim, V'toichal, V'yitzbo Lo Koli, V'toichal V'tisra V'toichal. Okay, there's a lot going on in this Pasuk. Let's get a review one more time. Boaz says to Rus, he says to Le'ez, so at the time of eating, go shalom, come over here and eat from the bread. Number one, eat. Number two, dip your bread in the vinegar. Simply this means she sat near the koitrim, the harvesters, and he handed her. He extended his hand to her by giving her parched. We learned machlokes in Rashi in the Targum, either he gave her parched toasted kernels, or he gave her toasted flour. And she ate, she was satisfied, and she left over. Okay, first thing is, why does it say here, Vayomer lo, without a dot in the hay? If you look at the text, it should say, Vayomer lo, a mapik hay. When one is speaking to a female, that's the correct usage of the word lo. Mapike, why is the hay missing? So the Medrash says that when you, this is an interesting idea, that when you have the word law without a dot, it's similar to the word low. Because the sound of weak hay, low, bayomer law, I mean, I guess if you would have a kamatz and an aleph, it's almost the same. It's not exactly the same, but it's almost the same in aleph and hey. Therefore, being that the mesora is, the word should be spelled without a mapik hey, it's telling us that we should read as if he said to her, Vayomer lo, no. What is the no? So there are two interpretations. First is, it's a continuation of the last pasuk. The last pasuk is, she said, lo ayeh ke'achas shifchei secha. I'm not even worthy to be one of your maidservants. Or I don't have. We learned in the Targum. I don't even have the zuchus. My merits in the next world do not even allow me to be connected to one of your maidservants. In other words, I'm not even worthy to be one of your maidservants. And the translation of the word in Targum is shifchei secha is amoy secha with aleph mem hey in amo. So here Boaz is rejecting that statement. Vayomer lo, I disagree with you, Rus. Not only are you not a maidservant, you are one of the imahos. Sara, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. Don't say you're not that you're only a shifra. Just the opposite. I completely reject that you are worthy of being considered accounted one of the imahos. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is Vayomer lo means he's having charat on his offer. Originally, it's a very interesting thing because how could a tzaddik kol hador have charot? Normally, you someone promise you something. There's a klala. Mi shapara midar hamabul mi an shadar flag who asli par mi sheino mi sheino oimed bidiburo. Yet here, he originally told her, "I want you to sit with me." But tell him if you go back to pasuk. Let's see, go back to pasuk tes. Einayich basodeh asher yiktzarun v'olacht achareihen haloi tzivis yisnam levuti nogich v'tzonis. If you're thirsty v'olacht alakilim v'shasis me'asher yishavun hanorim. It basically told her, let's even go back to Pasuches. Pasuches, v'yom boyez arus haloi shoat miti al techli lukod v'asodeh acher v'gam loy savo mizivichos sid bokin. I want you to stay with me. So here he's having charata because here the people, his workers already suspected foul play. He already suspected he was having some inappropriate dealings with this woman. They were choshed him. Yichud. They were choshed him on yichud. And therefore he then said, Vayomer lo, I have to change my mind. That the media already is on my case. Okay, the bloggers are already suspecting me of having inappropriate dealings with a single woman. So therefore, I'm changing my mind. This is what it says in the Medrash. Dover Acher, why here is there Omar law law below mapikay? Why is the dot missing? Shehi miloshin law. When there is no dot in the hay, we can read the word law. He told her no. Kefiish nidrash b'maimar kaidem. Like I told you, kiro lechol imo. He called her to eat together with him. Biachar kach tohayobo. The people were in shock. Because what's going on here? Boaz is having dealing with a young woman, the girl Hadar. So therefore, he had charata from his offer. So Maskana.
And how did he learn the rest of the pasuk? He said,
"Did
give bread."
Oh no! So that's why he goes on to tell, "Go sit me tzadak kaitchim. You can dip your bread, but don't sit next to me. Go sit with the workers. Don't sit at my table."
I would learn it by care. That you would think that because the people are talking, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
You repeat the same thing. You said,
"Noch mal stark mit her."
Yeah. Sit down with me
and don't worry. Who cares what they have to say?
Before you should have said, "Come with me."
Who cares what these people have to write? All right. Okay, that's an idea, but it's not what it says in the Medrash. In the Medrash, it says that he was sensitive to the gossip, the tabloids. He was sensitive.
That doesn't say nice. Your government are your place again because someone's gossiping. You have to change your thing because of.
Well, there is something to it. Chazal say the yisem, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The yisem nikiyim mehashem miyisrael. There's a pasuk in the Torah. The yisem nikiyim mehashem miyisrael. Today it's a big thing. Today they're all screaming that no counseling, that no rabbi is allowed to counsel a woman.
They started in Ger. There's a grocery store in Ger.
Yeah.
Put up a sign: women's hours. Hours and men's hours.
Where?
Right. Okay, so what? So. Not yet. Don't worry. Soon. Coming to a theater near you. Soon. So they'll soon have here also separate sidewalks. What do you think? They'll have separate sidewalks. They already have it in Williamsburg. Okay. Okay. Okay, let's listen. I read an article. There's a new article about in Congress. There are many senators that will not allow a staffer who's a female to sit in the office alone with him. Yichud. Because
all boys from class.
Now they're afraid.
They're afraid. You know, there's no. So you never know what's going to be. Exactly.
Okay.
Today in all the schools, you know, it's a big thing. They have to have cameras. Every single classroom has to have a camera. Camera with audio, and you have to know what's going on. No one should come and make a billboard. All right, let's go further. So here, we have Maskana, two different interpretations of the word low. So again, either low means without a hay. It's a new yisoid. At least a new yisoid today. Without a hay in the hay, it's interpreted to mean low, no. And we're learning two ideas. Either he's telling you you're not like one of the shvachas, you're like one of the most, or he's telling her, I have charata, I was very kind, I made an offer, but I can't be true to my word because people are beginning to talk not nice things. Okay, now the next idea. Now, there's a long medrash here. I'm going to elaborate. There's a long medrash, and the medrash says that we're going to darsh this pasuk six different ways. We're just going to go through the run through it very quickly. The basic idea. It's a beautiful medrash. Let me read you the opening words of this medrash. Give me one moment to find it. Six different ways to interpret this pasuk in reference to six different people. This that really opens up. It opens up what a medrash is all about. It's not just one short Maamar Chazal, but it. Okay, Tanya. Okay, here's the medrash. Where is this medrash, by the way? In Rus Rabba. Tanya. No, I'm reading the wrong medrash. Please give me one moment. This is a very long one. This is a quite a long one. Okay, here it is. Rabbi Yochanan was Sama Goyres, Rabbi Yochanan's son, Pasar Ba Shis Shitin. He interpreted this pasuk six different ways. Shis means a derech. Six different ways. This pasuk is alluding to six possibilities. Here we go. Number one. The first interpretation we dash in the entire pasuk in reference to David HaMelech. Here Boaz is coming to prophesy, you're going to have a descendant by the name of David, and everything that I'm telling you now is going to be fulfilled in him. When he says to her, Goshi Halom, this is a reference to Malchus, as we mentioned yesterday. Kivasi Ad Halom. Who is the Melech? Well, David had a long line of descendants that were all kings. Well, we're referring here specifically to David HaMelech himself. Okay, Kivaki Haki He Havi Oisani Ad Halom. Halom means Malchus. Next. Then when it says over here, Kav Yachalt Min Halechem. The word halechem is spelled with a hey ha'idia the lechem. This, according to zulachma shel malchus, this is the bread of malchus. This is a new idea. Why is malchus called lechem? Because it is the king's responsibility to see to it that the people of his country have bread, and that is why this is a very important chazal, because that's why chazal associate the shulchan with malchus. There are three kesarim. There's the keser kohuna, Keser Malchus, and the Keser Torah, corresponding to the three Zerim, the three crowns in the Mishkan, the Zer that went around the, Torah, the Zer that went around the Shulchan, the Zer that went around the Mizbeach, and the Zer that went around the Shulchan, it refers to the Keser, the crown of Malchus. What does Malchus have to do with the Shulchan? So simply we always say, because the Malchus is bread, Parnasa, bread represents wealth, Parnasa, but here you see it much more, you see this here explicitly in the Pasuk. Avichalt min halechem, the bread. The bread with the hey idea, the bread of Malchus, because that is the role of the Malchus. Okay, then it goes on to say, V'tavav pidech v'chem, you shall dip your bread into vinegar. What is that? So this tells that David HaMelech suffered very much in his life. As he himself said, we say this mizvah every day in Tachnun, Hashem al bi'apicha sochicheni. Do not rebuke me in your anger. Take away from me the yisum. David suffered various points in his life. He suffered different punishments, different forms of suffering, and he's begging Hashem to please remove these forms of suffering. So when it says bread being dipped in vinegar, vinegar is a symbolic of harshness, of difficulty, the difficulty of yisurim. Next, when it goes on to say vateisha mitzad hakoytzrim, then when it says on that she sat mitzad, on the side, what is the significance? To teach us that David's malchus was taken away from him for a short period of time. And when was that? When Avshalom was running after his own father. When Avshalom dethroned temporarily David from the malchus, he ran away from his own son, so David was no longer in control. He wasn't the melech. That's what it alludes to over here when he said to her, I want you vateshev mitzad hakoitchem. Sit on the sidelines. You're no longer going to be one of the regulars. Then when it says,
you can fit shot very nicely, very little, David has the chaimetz is on the Yisurim of David.
Yeah.
Vateshev mitzad hakoitchem. She was sat on the side watching everything be chopped down or cut away. And then, vayitzbeg lo. Because of all this, David developed the sound of Tehillim, and with that, he pulled himself out of the sorrows and the depression and the pain.
So what do you mean? What are we trying to say?
David, he went through all these,
okay. Okay.
And because of that, he wrote Tehillim.
Okay.
Tehillim was his...
That's right.
Only for him, for us.
For Klal Yisrael.
Learning instead about Yitzhak,
Kali, yeah.
And we're saying it's
coil. Coil is called. He made a coil. Interesting idea that he, the coil of the hillam. That is a response. Okay. That's an idea. You want to say coli is alluding to coil. The coil of the hillam. Okay. I hear what you're saying. I hear.
Contribute to Benji.
David Malchus, the Brach of Malchus. Okay, let's go now. When it says here the word Kali, according to the Medrash, Kali refers to the Malchus will one day come back, even though temporarily mitzad, vateishev lo mitzad hakoitrim, which is a remez that his Malchus will be taken away temporarily when he was fleeing because of Avshalom. But do not worry, vayitzpa lo Kali, he ultimately handed her parched kernels, the malchus would one day be restored. And then when it says v'atocha v'atiska v'toysar,
this is another thing, because I think in the olden time when you had a wedding,
yeah,
grew wheat at the chasukah, or rice, they threw a simon bracha.
They threw. So what is so? Okay, how does it apply to David?
That it's a good sign.
Okay, fine. Now here the last part of the pasuk is Vatoichal. There are three expressions. Vatoichal, she ate, she was satisfied, and she left over. So the Medrash says, Oy Achila is an Olam Hazeh. The repetition is Achila Olam Hazeh. Oichal Olam Hazeh. The Sevia is Limos HaMashiach. And Vatoisar for Le'osid Lavo. Olam Hazeh. Yimos HaMashiach and Olam Habol Aslav. Okay, so what we've done over here is, before we go to the other five, we'll go through the other five very quickly, this first section is laying out the foundation of what we're doing. We are taking one of the Ishei HaTanach. We're taking a descendant of Rus, and we are applying the Pasuk to this individual, each part of the Pasuk. And what we're going to do with the next five, it's going to be very, very similar, just finding a different event in their particular life. And the foundation is, the first thing is we mentioned Goshi Halom is always going to be the same as Malchus. Haloim means Malchus. Heviasani at Haloim. Menalecha means their success. V'toval pidech v'chemit is their failure, a time in their life when they're going to suffer. David here, referring to David, David's suffering was, he suffered from Yisurim. V'teshev mitzad ha-koychem, a situation when they were sidelined. And then the ultimate revival, the Renaissance, by Yitzbot Lo Koli, Boaz extended to her kernels of grain, meaning I'm taking you back into the fold. And then ultimately, Vatoichal Vatisva Vatoisa. So we first already explained according to the first interpretation that it refers to David. Now let's get the thing, now let's go to the second interpretation. The second interpretation is Shlomo HaMelech. He is number two on the list. Okay, so according to him, we interpret this as follows. Dover Acher, second is Shlomo. Shlomo was a melech. Haloi means malchus. When it says v'achalt min halechem, this is the same thing as the bread of malchus. When it says v'tovalt pitech b'choymetz, this is David's sins. What was David's sins? From the choymetz, Shlomo melech was the melech, he his malchus was secure originally, but then he sinned. What did he sin? He married too many wives. He took for himself too much gold and silver, he took for himself too much horses, and that's called the choymetz. And what was the result of that? Vateshev mitzad hakoychem, he was sidelined. How was he sidelined? Well, we know that Ashmedai, at one point in time, Ashmedai dethroned Shlomo. But ultimately, his malchus came back, Vayitzbat lo koli, Boaz handed her kernels of grain, toasted kernels of grain, the malchus was restored, Vatoichal vatispa vatoisar, same exact thing, Oilom hazeh, Yimos HaMashiach and Oilom Haba. So it's very, very similar. But instead of applying the pasuk to David, we apply it to Shlomo. Shlomo had a good time. Shlomo had difficult times. And the only major difference is that instead of saying the chaymetz was Yisurim, the chaymetz was saying are his sins. The sins were he was nichshol, having too many wives and so on and so forth, which resulted in losing and being sidelined for a tkufa from Ashmedai until his malchus was restored. Third interpretation. Who do we regard this pasuk in reference to? Chizkiyahu. Okay, Chizkiyahu, what was his story? Haloim is Malchus. V'yachalt min halechem is the same thing. He was a successful king. But when it says V'yotavalt pidech b'choymeitz is the time when he almost died. We know that Chizkiyahu did not marry and he was near death until Yeshaya came to him and gave him Musar. Why did you not get married? The Malchus of Klal Yisrael depends upon your lineage. And his neshama was restored. He married the daughter of Yeshaya, and that's what it says that he gave. He extended him Kali. Kali refers to his malchus will be restored. When it says Vateshav mitzad hakoytshim, he was sidelined. That was the time when the malchus was threatened through Sancheriv. When Sancheriv came with his 800,000 soldiers to destroy Yerushalayim, his malchus was threatened. threatened, but ultimately his malchus came back. And then when it says the end of the pasuk, "Va'toychal va'tispa va'toysa," same thing, "Olam hazeh yimos hamashiach and olam haba." Okay, so that's three. Now we go to number four. Number four is Menashe. Now here is a very different approach. Until now, the first three interpretations were dealing with tzaddikim: David, Shlomo, and Chizkiyahu. Now we're dealing with the fourth possibility of Menashe. And Menashe was a Rasha. So what does it mean, Haloim? Haloim is the same thing, he was the Melech. Lechem is Lachem Shel Malchus, that does not change. The Taval Pidich Bachoimitz, we mentioned this yesterday, is that indeed he was a terrible Rasha. He was Oyvin of Avodah Zarah, he set Klal Yisrael down a path that was irreversible to bring about the Churban Beis HaMikdash by worshipping idols. When it says Vateisha Mitzad HaKoitzrim, now this is not all, this information is not all well known, you have to know you say from Malachim and Sefer Devarim well to know the whole story, is that Menashe for a short period of time was taken away to be killed. The Ashur, Melech Ashur, exiled for a short period of time Menashe, and he actually almost killed him. And miraculously, the very last moment, Melech Ashur decided not to kill Menashe and to release him, let him return to Yerushalayim. So that's what it means. Vateishev lo mitzat hakoitzrim, Menashe's malchus was also shortly sidelined. Vayitzpot lo koli, he was handed him parched grain. In other words, it was restored. Same thing. His malchus came back. And then when it says here at the end, vatoichal vatispa vatoisar, this is a very controversial statement, is that he has a chelik in olam hazeh and yimos hamashiach in olam haba. But it says in the Mishnah, says that he has no chelik in olam haba. So you have to know what that means exactly. Not everyone agrees that. So not that opinion is not followed by all opinions. That was controversial. Since he did tshuva, so some say that that's a gemara. You have to go to the gemara in Sanhedrin. Yes, he did do tshuva. But his tshuva was not enough to bring Klal Yisrael back from the damage he had done. He brought Klal Yisrael, set him down a path of churban, and even when he did tshuva, it was too little, too late. And the question is, does he have a chelik olam haba? So this is the sugim sechta Sanhedrin, which you have to see inside. The Mishnah says he does not have a chelik olam haba. The Gemara discusses it, and there's an indication according to some that he does have a chelik olam haba. And the Medrash here is saying shegam menashe liacha shechosah b'shuva oichel b'olam hazeh oichel imos hamashiach oichel lo olam haba. It's fairish in the Medrash. It has to be reconciled with what it says in the Mishnah, the Gemara, but we'll leave it with that. Now we come to the fifth interpretation, and we darsh this in reference to Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is Malchus, Koshi Halom. When it says, eat from the bread, that's the bread of Malchus, that's the same. Dip your bread in vinegar. Now this is a pasuk which the Christians like to focus on. It says, V'hu micholol mipishoenu. Melech HaMashiach is ill from our sins. He suffers because of us. It's very hard to understand what this means. That Melech HaMashiach suffers Yisurim. He carries upon him the sins of Klal Yisrael. This pasuk, as mentioned, has been corrupted, perverted by the Apikarsim, who interpret this in reference to a false Mashiach. In Yeshaya Nun Gimel. On the bus, Isaiah. What do they have? You look on the bus advertisements. Isaiah 53. But is that the parrot they're referring to? They have another parrot, whatever it is. For these type of things, every so often you'll see this. The Christian, whatever that, the missionaries, they're into this pasuk. It's apikorsis, of course. But the Medrash quotes that pasuk that the Melech HaMashiach, he suffers Yisurim because of us, and that is what it means, what Boaz said to Rus, you're going to have a descendant that's going to be the Melech HaMashiach. He's a Melech, Haloim. He's going to eat from the Lechem HaLechem, the Lechem of Malchus. But you should know, you're going to dip your bread in vinegar. He's going to have a very difficult life. He's going to suffer quite a bit. He's going to be a sickly person, carrying upon his shoulders this chatoim of Klal Yisrael. And what's going to happen? Also, vateishav mitzad hakoitzrim, that his malchus, now this is also something very interesting, is that his malchus will be, we did the lam, it's the mapikei, thank you for the reference. We did the two midrashim with the mapikeis. Okay. So we have that vateishav mitzad hakoitzrim. What does it mean? This is important, that the malchus of Melech HaMashiach will also temporarily be sidelined. When? At the Melchama of Melchemes Goig u'Magoig. It says in the pasuk, V'yosafti eskol hagoyim el Yerushalayim la Milchama. The city will be captured. There will be a war, and there'll be a war in the Mal Klali. The Yerushalayim will be under attack, will be captured, and then people are going to question, "What good are you, Melech HaMashiach? You're not able to save us." So they're not going to give him the honor. His Malchus will be sidelined at that point in time.
But
Melech HaMashiach.
No, which one? Are we talking about Mashiach Ben Yosef or?
Oh, Mashiach, not Mashiach ben Yehud ben David, because we're referring to a descendant in Echanami. But you're right. You make a good point. L'chara, you would assume that refers to Mashiach ben Yosef. But here, since the Medrash says that we're referring to Mashiach, the descendant of Rus, it must be dealing with Mashiach ben David. But ultimately, he will make a revival by Yitzpat Lo Koli, which hints to the fact that he's giving her some toasted kernels of grain that your mouth will be restored. And then when it says, the pasuk concludes those three expressions, Vatechal, Vatisa, Vatisa, the same thing as Olam Hazel, Yimos HaMashiach, and Olam Haba. Okay, so that's already five. Now, who is the last? Who is the last? The last interpretation. Now, this, the Medrash says, besides interpreting the pasuk according to all the various people, you can learn it Lefi Pshutai, Boaz. You don't know that this very bizarre medrash, because the medrash always takes the pasuk and it's lafuke mide pshat. Here the sixth interpretation is, guess what? You can also learn the pasuk lefi pshutai, a reference to Boaz. He said to her, Goshi halom, Boaz said, come here. No malchus, just come near me. You're standing over there, please come forward. Simple. Then when he said to her, he said to eat bread. What bread? The hey hayidia. Don't eat that poor man's bread. The poor people, the anim, they ate inferior quality bread, grade C. Come eat from the bread that I give my workers. It's high quality bread. Breadsmith. Only the good stuff. Come eat the good stuff, the good tasty stuff. And then he said to her, you're going to suffer from a heat stroke. So dip your bread in vinegar, and that will give you the nutrients you need in order to overcome the heat. And then when he said to her, why does it say bitzad? She was humble. It means she was a tsanua. She was invited to sit at the head of the table, but she was a humble woman, so she sat on the side, in the corner. She didn't want to... What?
She's not among them.
But on the side of them.
Nearby,
at Tznius. And then when it says, and that's it, and then she ate, she left over, so it's very funny medrash. The medrash, after going through the first five interpretations, we were very midrashic, and we're very homiletic, and poetic. All of a sudden we go, by the way, Rabbi Say, Ein Mikra Yoitzei Midei Pshutai, Lorem Pashit, Celestial Resort Boaz, come here, right here. Sit down. Here's some good, delicious bread, not this old, stale, moldy stuff you're eating. Sit among us. No, I'll sit on the side, dip in the vinegar. She ate, she was satisfied, she left over. Al derech shatza sacha. What have we done over here? It's to review. It's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says we have one pasuk in. A lot to think about when you read Mishnah Rosh on Shavuos. One pasuk. Vayom elo boaz la'es ha'echel gosh shalom. Six different interpretations. Rabbi Yonasan, some to Rabbi Yochanan, interpret this pasuk in reference to six possible candidates. Four of the six are five of the six are tzaddikim. Number one was David. Number two is Shlomo. Number three is Chizkiah. Let's skip to number five was Melech HaMashiach. And number six was Boaz. And all of them have the common theme. All of them refer to, besides Boaz, is Malchus. Haloi means they're going to be descendants that are kings. They're going to be eat from the Halecha and the Hei Haidia. They're going to be in charge of the country, Malchus. There's going to be vinegar. Vinegar represents difficulty in your lifetime. David's going to suffer Yisurim. Shlomo HaMelech is going to commit Averos, have too many wives. Chizkiyoh HaMelech is going to be near death because he failed to get married. And Melech HaMashiach is going to suffer because of the sins of Klal Yisrael. You're going to suffer, but don't worry. You'll make a comeback. You'll be a revival by Yitzpah Lokoli. And then it goes on to say there's going to be a period of time that's called Mitzad, sidelined. All of these individuals are going to suffer a tkufa in their malchus, where the malchus will be extremely weak. David, when he ran away from Avshalom, Shlomo, he was deposed by Ashmedai. Chizkiyahu, when he was attacked by Sancheriv, Melech HaMashiach, when the Yerushalayim was under attack, and even Menashe was deposed, was taken away by Melech Ashur. All of these kings are going to suffer a period of time when they're going, their malchus will be extremely weak, but do not worry, they will make their comeback by Yitzpah Lokoli, and ultimately they'll all the chelik lo'olam haba, va'toichal, va'tisfar, va'toisar, they will eat, they will be satisfied, they will leave over olam hazeh, yimos ha-mashiach, and olam haba. And one of the ones we didn't mention either, was a little bit different, was Menashe. Menashe was also the melech. Menashe's vinegar means his terrible sins. He was sidelined. He will do tshuva. He will, by Yitzpah Lokoli, he will do tshuva, and he will also, according to this mention, v'chelek lo'olam haba. And the sixth interpretation is al derech pshat, in reference to Boaz. Okay, so that we've done. Now let's go to another idea. Another idea, it says at the end of the pasuk. And in the pasuk it says, "Vatoichal, she ate, vatispa, she was satisfied, vatosar, and she left over." Now, first of all, let's take a little step back. What exactly does it mean by yitzpot lo kol? By yitzpot lo kol? It's a very unusual word. So Rashi quoted a Mishnah. I don't think I told you the right interpretation of the Mishnah. I think it means a part of the utensil. Let's look at the Rashi very quickly one more time. Vayitzpot lo kol. In pasuk yudalid, vayoshala ve'ein loy dimim b'meko. There is no equivalence. There is no precedent to the word vayitzpot in the entire Tanakh. The only place available is a Mishnah. Achodayim v'tochu beis hatzbita. It's a utensil. A utensil has it outside. I told you it means it refers to part of the body. You made a mistake. Achodayim means, yeah.
I have it from there. You talked about the Gemara in Chagiga, right?
Right. It's a utensil. Yeah.
I have it as meaning he handed it to her, something.
Yeah.
That Tzvita means something held with two fingers.
Okay, well, that's what we'll come to. But Vayis, from the very similar translation, means he handed her. Vayoshet. That's all Rashi says. To hand over. He picked up something in his hand and he gave it to her. So Rashi quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, referring to, there's no precedent for this word in Tanakh, but we have it in the Mishnah, a utensil. A utensil has the outside, the back of the utensil, the outside, the exterior, has the inside, and has what's called a base hatsavita. That's the handle. The ogen. The handle. The handle is called the part that you hold. How do you hold a handle? With your entire hand? No. You hold it with two fingers. With two fingers, with three fingers. So in that context, the Mepharshim say means when he just gave her a very small amount. He gave her the amount of food that you could fit between two fingers, or pinch. By Yitzpah lo'echel, he took a pinch of grain and he gave it to her, and miraculously the small amount that he gave her was enough to grant her satisfaction and even enough to leave over, which teaches us that when there's a bracha, as we mentioned last week on Friday, when there's a bracha, the year of Shemitah, you don't need to ask the question what's going to be in the seventh year. Oichal kima v'varech b'meyof. Eat a small amount and it's blessed in your stomach. Here, Boaz the Tzadi gave her a small, teeny amount, and that was enough to give her satisfaction. She was satiated even to the point where she left over. Just two fingers worth. Okay, now, there's another. Okay, now, there's I saw an idea in the Sarasi Bamadinas. He has a very beautiful idea. The Melachim ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are you allowed to show favoritism to the Jewish people? It says in the pasuk, Yisashem Pana Vilechav Yosem L'chashom. We say it in the Birchas Kehanim every single day, Hashem Yisashem Pana Vilechav Yosem L'chashom. How are you allowed to show favor? Favor has a connotation to give them something that they do not deserve. But it says in the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God that is Lo Yisafonim, does not show favoritism. Contradiction. So Hashem ends the Malachim, you're right, generally I do not show favoritism. But when the people show me favoritism, then it's only Midah Kenegin Midah that I should show them favoritism. Where do I find that my people show me favoritism? I have told them in the Torah of Yachalta V'Savata V'Rachta, I have commanded them the only time they shall bench me, they shall thank me, is when they are satisfied. But they have accepted upon themselves even to bench me, to recite Birchas HaMazon, even if they eat a small amount. They just eat a kazayas. They eat a kazayas, a small amount. They already recite Birchas Hamazon, even though they're not satisfied. So therefore, they have gone the extra mile. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to be favorable to them. Okay, that's the Chazal. Now, Chazal, go a little bit. The question is, but how are we allowed to recite Birchas Hamazon? It should be a bracha levatala. V'achalta v'savata v'rachta. If we're not really satisfied, we only be in the small kazayas, how do we are permitted? So the answer is, there are two types of satisfaction. There's satisfaction, physical satisfaction, and there is halachic satisfaction. Since there are people who are satisfied eating a kazayis, a small amount, there is a degree of satisfaction. The halacha, in the world of halacha, it's called satisfied. This is the favoritism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the favoritism that Klal Yisrael shows for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by establishing halachic principles, halachic guidelines to establish what is called satisfaction, and just like when it comes to Birchas Hamazon, you can apply the same principle to all other mitzvahs, that is an expression of showing favor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So someone says exactly the same thing over here. That's, we want to take that idea and tie it into Rus. It says, "Vatoichal vatisba vatoisa." She ate, and she was satisfied, and she left over. If she left over, leaving over means she was satisfied fulfilling the halacha. It could very well be if Boaz only gave her by yitzpot, a pinch, a small amount, that is not enough to satisfy a person. You know, you have to for the moment take away, ignore, forget what we just mentioned 1 moment ago. A few moments ago we mentioned this idea that if you eat a small amount, you're satisfied. Oichel kima, eat a teeny amount, umavarech b'meyav, and the small amount is blessed in your stomach, and you have a sense of satisfaction. That's true. But let's put that aside. Let's take the pasuk very literally. Boaz only gave her a pinch. By yitzpot lo koli, he took a teeny amount and he gave her a pinch and gave her a turt to eat, a kazayas worth, an olive worth. She ate it. Would you call that satisfied? Definitely not. Not satisfied according to satisfaction in the world of a non-observant human Jew or a guy would not be satisfied. But in the Torah, when it says v'achalta v'savata, does it mean to be satisfied, or does it mean to eat a kazayis, to fulfill a halachic degree of satisfaction? Well, Hashem did not require us, the only Ikar HaDin required us to be physically satisfied. V'achalta, v'savata, and then uberachta. But Hashem has taken notice that we are machmir, even if we only eat a kizayis, we don't eat a whole loaf of bread, we consider ourselves to be satisfied according to the halacha. And that's enough. And we already accept upon ourselves the obligation to bench Hashem. That is what she did over here. She ate vatisba. Batisba means she was satisfied according to the halacha, batosar, and therefore everything else was extra. In other words, a very deep idea. She's willing to live her life according to the rules of the Torah, even though it comes with great mesiras nefesh. Not always is doing the mitzvah something which gives a person physical pleasure and satisfaction in this world. More often than not, the mekayim, the mitzvos of the Torah require a degree of mesiras nefesh where there is no physical satisfaction, but there is spiritual satisfaction that you have done the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This pasuk here is describing the greatness of Rus. That Rus, when she ate to satisfy herself spiritually. I've eaten a kazayis, now I can make a bracha. I can make this bracha. That for me is the ultimate satisfaction to do Hashem's will. And therefore, when it comes to the physical food, the physical sustenance, I'm willing to leave that over. That can be pushed off to the side. This is it's a homiletic interpretation of the pasuk, but it's a very deep idea when you connect this pasuk to the chazal of Klal Yisrael show favor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reciting Birchas Hamazon on only a kezayis, even though a kezayis is not something which gives a person full physical satisfaction. It is something which is significant enough for a person to be satisfied spiritually and to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the other food as far as he is concerned is just extra. It's toisar. That is what she did here. Because we're combining here the word vatispa with the word vayitzpot. Vayitzpot is a teeny amount, and yet that was enough for her to say, oh, I'm spiritually satisfied, and everything else that I possibly need is vatoisar, is just a luxury. Okay, one more idea. There's a very beautiful idea from the Balei Musar. I don't remember who it said from. It said from different people, if I'm not mistaken. There's a certain type of fast that Balei Musar would do. They would never finish a complete portion of food to show that you are in control. Person is presented with a delicious delicacy. It's supposed to, Balei Musar would leave over a little bit. You eat 95% or 90% and you leave over a small amount to show I'm in control. The rib steak is not in control. I'm not a slave to my taiva. So what are you asking? So it should be Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis only when it's a waste. By leaving over a small amount and not eating and using that as a way to control your taiva is the ultimate function the food can serve in this world. We think if you don't eat every single little crumb going in your stomach, that's Bal Tashchis. Sometimes not eating is, if you don't eat it, is Bal Tashchis. You're destroying your neshama. The doctor says if you eat a double pork, if you eat a full serving of red meat, of rib steak, you're gonna die. He gets poisoned. But if you eat a half a portion, then adarab, it's good for your health. So you're gonna tell me that leaving over the other half, and the only way you can cook it, when you buy it in the store, when you warm up the microwave, whatever you do, it only comes, the only way you can purchase it is a full serving. Are you gonna tell me that leaving over the other half is Bal Tashchis? If I eat the other half, I'm dead. I'm dead. It's going to kill me. So leaving over the other half is not Bal Tashchis. Adarabba, this is something which is healthy, not eat. So when it comes to your neshama, to show that you are in control, you're not a slave to food, to your taivos, adarabba, not eating is the ultimate form. It's not Bal Tashchis. So here's exactly what it says, that Rus was disciplined. Rus batoichal. Vatispa, she was satisfied. I don't have to take a double portion. I don't got to go back and line up and take a double portion. I'm satisfied. There's a tremendous smile of poor people. You don't find poor people doing that when they're giving us free food and you're collecting. Who says tomorrow I'll have what to eat? So you eat until there's no end. Until there's nothing left. No, this is Hermila Batoisar, discipline. And from discipline comes Malchus. Okay, so we've got quite a number of ideas here. I think we can go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tesvav tells us, Vatokam Lulakate, she got up to gather, Vayitzav Boaz Desnarav Lemar, he told, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Gam Bein Ho'amorim Tilakate, that let her collect between the bundles. Allow this woman, v'lo sach li'imua, do not put her to shame. I want it should be easy for her to collect meleket, shechan peah, and don't put her to shame. Let's read one more pasuk. V'gam, not only that, when you collect, when you go and harvest the grain, I want you to deliberately leave over things for her. No, it's, I want you to forget on purpose. V'gam also, shol to shol, the shol means to forget. Shol to sholula min hatzava sim, I want you to forget and leave over, cast down. Shol means, means to cast down from the tzava, hatzava sim, from the standing ears of grain, va'azavtem, abandon them for her, v'likta, let her collect them, v'lo sig'aruva, and do not shout at her. Do not harass her. Let's see the Targum, let's see first the Rashi on these two psukim. Pasuk tes, vav, there is no Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, right? Pasuk tes zayin, v'gam shol t'shalu, shecholach tishkichu. The word shol means to forget. You shall surely forget. Make it your business to forget. How do you do that? How could you forget? You can't forget something which happens naturally. It's not something a person can deliberately do. The way you forget is just by not reviewing. If you don't review, then you forget. Here he's telling her, it's not really exactly clear what this means, but he's telling the workers, you shall deliberately forget. Yeah. He explains, Asu atzmechem ki'ilu atem shaychem. Make believe you're forgetting. Okay, that's, I guess, what he means. It's not possible to forget deliberately, but make believe that you're forgetting. Targum kol shkaga, the translation of shkaga in the Torah is always shelusa. And here we have the word shol, which means to forget. V'chein al hashal means for an error. Al hashal means for a mistake. Al hashal. Dover acher, loshem ki yishal zeisecha means if it falls down. A second translation that caused it to fall down. When you're gathering, when you're taking your sickle and you cut, and you cut all the grain into a bundle, I want you to deliberately cause some of the loose stalks to fall to the ground. So it's not the same as forgetting, it's the same idea to let her collect. Tzavasim, what are tzavasim? Amardim ketanim, small bundles. Yesh dugmasa b'loshen mishnah, mitzan tzavasim, if you find them, tzavasim ay krichas. Krichas means large bundles, and tzavasim means small bundles. So he told her, let her go and collect, you shall shol to sholom and tzavasim.
So what is this? Is this leket?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Is it leket or shifa? I think it's machlekes in Rashi in the time. We had this before. It means when you're making the bundles, min hatzavasim. I think it means that as you're tying the grain together in bundles, as you're preparing bundles, let some of the loose stalks of grain fall out on the floor, which would then be in the category of leket. Leket.
It has to be.
One or two.
They have to be very careful about
how to say. Yeah, not three. Or maybe means sholom and hatzvasim, the small bundle. When you're going out to bring the bundles back home, back into the silo, deliberately drop a couple of the bundles. And that would be, leave them there. Well, shol means to, that would shichas. I think we had before machlekes in the Targum and Rashi, what exactly was going? Was it, we had a remez, all three. There was leket, shicha, and peah. There was the corner of the field, there was the shicha, and there was leket. So it could be really, maybe the pasuk is deliberately being vague, both. Number one, let her have a little bit of leket. When you're making the bundles, make sure you deliberately let some of the stalks fall on the floor so that there'll be some leket. And then as you bring the bundles into the silo, let some of the bundles drop on the floor.
With leket, they have more control. They take all the bundles into the house.
Well, leket, it's the same last control. What do you mean? If you're a good worker, you don't forget.
What? Is they forget a bundle.
Right. And leket is you forget a stalk. And what is leket?
Other people will see, oh, it's a bundle. They'll run ahead of them and get the bundle.
Well, that was always a problem here. What? That those, yeah.
Them, so while they're cutting and putting it together, they're always losing a piece for it.
Not always. If you're a good worker, you work very carefully, you don't forget anything. It all depends how fast you have to work. Yeah. Not necessarily. Okay, let's see. Okay, so we have Machlokes. Rashi is giving us, let's leave it with this. Rashi is giving us two translations. The word shol means, it means to forget, to deliberately forget, or it means to drop. In fact, there's a pasuk, v'haya, there's actually, okay, I just comes to mind now, there's a discussion if a Torah warns us not to forget the Torah. Right? And there's actually, there's a machlokes, and the Rambam is one of the Tayag mitzvos of a prohibition to forget what you learned. And how can you deliberately cause yourself to forget what you learned? So some say you can eat certain things, you can take certain types of medication, you can do things, or you can do certain activities. You can do certain activities that cause you to forget. That would be a violation. But naturally forgetting, that's not a violation. And some say no, even not reviewing what you have studied is considered to be an act of forgetting. I think it's an interesting idea because that will tie into this Rashi over here. He's telling the workers, I want you to deliberately forget, according to Rashi's first interpretation, shol to sholu, lashon shkaga, deliberately forget, make believe you're forgetting. Alright, let's leave it with that. Now, let's see the Targum of these two psukim, pasuk tezot has design, the kamas. The kamas means, she got up. She got up lemitzbar to collect shuvlin, the stalks. She got up to continue collecting. Ufakei Boaz yos ulei mo. And Boaz commanded his young men, lenemar saying, he said to them such, af beinei u alumaya, between the bundles, tehei tsavro, let her collect. Let her collect even in between the, normally in between the bundles was a place where the aniyim were not allowed to walk because they would interfere with the work of the kaitshim. They had to wait until the kaitshim left, exited the field. No. Let her go in between the men. Velos sich sifuna. And don't put her to shem and say, get out of here. What are you doing over here? You don't belong over here. Wait until we leave, until you can go and collect whatever we leave over. No, don't put her to shame. Okay, next pasuk, pasuk tezan viaf mitar tatirun. So he's translating over here to leave over. To leave over. Mitar means moisar. Titirun. So that appears to be different than Rashi's two interpretations. Rashi's first interpretation is to forget. Rashi's second interpretation is to deliberately cast to the ground. Here he says, leave over. Leave over. It's a different translation. Shol. The gam mitar tatirun la min asiraya. Leave over from the asira means the bundles. The smooth bundles. Okay, so he's translating in the bundles, leave over. The stishbukun, and forget them. Deliberately forget them. Limehevet savra, so that she could collect it. The law sin zifun ba, and don't shout, don't mzifa, don't snort, don't shout, don't make funny sounds at her to scare her away. Okay. Now, anything I wanted to mention? Are things I just can't remember. I want to say, okay, yeah. There's a he has here in this sefer and others as well. He goes to town on this. Okay, this is over my head about what Boaz is doing here is halachically problematic. Why? Leket Shech and Peah belong on the Torah grants it as property to the poor man. And therefore there's no requirement to separate Truma and Meiser. But something that is the property of the Baal HaBayis and is given as a gift to a poor man. Let's say the Baal HaBayis, he brings everything into the silo. And there's leket shechen peah. And the poor people, they clean them out. They clean out the field. And now they come knocking on the door. You know, we took leket shechen peah, but you know, we have a large family. I have 12 children in Koilel. You know, maybe you can give me a little bit more. I need a couple of more bundles. Can we take from the silo a donation? Okay, they want a donation. So, yeah, but I'll give you a donation. Don't forget, it's mine. I brought into the solo. It's chayiv and shum and meiser. So don't forget to give shum and meiser. Here, Naomi, we're assuming that Ruth, Ruth is going back to Naomi. We're assuming that they're both, Naomi for sure is Jewish, but we're assuming that Ruth was already Megayer, as we learned yesterday and the day before. So she's a full-fledged Israelist. She's a full-fledged Jew. She has all the laws. So she would be, if he's giving her a gift from his own property, she is mechuyev to separate shuma and Meiser, Meiser Misha, Meiser Sheni. So here, if he's telling the workers, I want you to deliberately forget, make believe, Asu Atzmchem, but you're not really forgetting. Really, it's mine. It's my property. It's not Hefker. He's not, that's a question. Some say yes, some say not. Hefker will hover not. Okay, that's all part of the answer. Maybe yes, maybe not, but it's a problem. I'm not coming to give an answer, but there's a problem. The fact here that he's telling her, he's telling the workers, I want you to deliberately, Rashi, to forget, or to Targum, to leave over. There's a problem, because this means it's the property of Boaz, and the property of Boaz, I'm giving it now to her as a gift. I'm making my workers shaluchim to give it to her as a gift.
She doesn't know that.
So it's lifnei iver lo sitei nichshol. And not separating Truman Meiser is Misa Bidei Shemayim.
Why don't you say that?
What? Shloim Ben asked that question. It's not L'chatchila. The Gadol Hadar should give Truma Shloim Ben Amukov. When you give Truma, you have to give, you have to all be in one shot, and you take away from what's present. You're not going to go give what's over here for what's over here. That's not L'chatchila. So now we get into alumnus a lot. Can you make someone a shliach to be mafia your property? Big machlekes rishonim. Because does hefker shlichus work? You're my workers and the silo. I want you to be mafia a certain section of the silo. No, not luchach. It's machlekes.
How would you working for somebody leave over stuff in the field?
No, that's natural. That's the Torah's leket shechen peah. Whatever lenidla torila malachi hashores. A worker works. He forgets a couple of bundles here, a couple of stalks there. The Torah acknowledges that's leket. The Torah was mafkir. That's leket shechen peah.
That they tell their workers give a little ounce more because I don't want to be there showing you.
So that's derech nekachu memkar. That's already the rules. That there are certain rules put into dekamech. You have to give a little bit more. That's natural. You're in a business. The Torah says you have to give a little bit more. But when you hear he's telling the workers, I want you to go overboard. Make believe you forgot. Well, you didn't really have a whole bundle. It's worth money, good money, a bundle. It's worth $10. You make believe you forgot it.
Don't work too hard.
Okay, so you got it. Maybe what you write, maybe what you're saying is right. Maybe you're saying it's so that since already the Torah acknowledged something called Leket Shechun Peah, so your lot will go overboard. When you go overboard, automatically gets the same status Leket Shechun Peah. Or you want to say you can make someone a shliach to be mafkir. He's telling the workers, you do the hefker. It works. Or you'll say he was mafresh. He himself was mafkir. Maybe he, after they did this, he himself, God made a declaration, I'm mafkir all those things that my workers left over. Or maybe you'll say that he was mafresh shuma ma'aser shlem and hamukov. This is an exceptional circumstance. There are answers, but just a point that has to be made. It's a halachic challenge. What exactly is taking place here in this situation? And you have to find a solution. Business ethics, right? You gotta be honest. If you're not honest, and you can't deny the coin and the lady just because you want to be generous to this poor person, Rus. You can't deny the coin and the lady what's due to them. It's not fair, you know. It's, when you take away from one, this world is like a short tablecloth. It may look nice on one side, but the other side is empty. So when you want to go fix it on the other side, it's going to be bare on this side. There's no perfect solution. When you take from one person, you're generous to one person, you're taking away from someone else. You're redistributing the wealth. That's what's going on over here. Boaz, anyway, right, give it to the Aniyim.
But when you give him a tana, what constitutes the transfer?
When you give it, I am the balabas. I'm the owner, and I hand it to you. I give it to you. Or I make a kinyan kesef, kinyan matana, the kinyan meshicha. When the recipient pulls it from the reshus of the balabais. But can I make a worker an agent to take something and make it hefker, to leave it over to the degree where it's not chayv and shum and meiser? Problem. Maybe and maybe not. Okay, but I don't have a solution. He has pages in this Sefer Sras Ramadim. He has pages and pages on this. And he goes through every angle and every shita and every... It's a little over my head. I just want to bring out this point, what is going on. And we mentioned some of the possible solutions. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Ches. Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin Vatalake. Let me just make sure I didn't forget anything. There are a couple of midrashim. I want to just give me one moment to look back. There was some nice... Okay, there are certain things I wanted to mention, but we'll get there. Okay, there's one important thing I forgot to mention. It says here. Okay, he gave her. We have to go back a few. This is an important medrash. We can't pass this by. Back in Pasuk Yudalit. So we mentioned he gave her a pinch. He handed it to her. We quoted this Mishnah referring to scrubbing a utensil. It has an outside, an inside, and has a handle, the part that you hold on to. So the Medrash says, read the words, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Mir Yoin, bo hakosov lelamed, lelamedcha, she'im adam oisem mitzvah, yasena b'leiv shom. Why does the Pasuk here tell us what he did, that he handed her a pinch of grain? To teach you, watch out. Everything that you do is being recorded. There are cameras. Right, is that a camera over there?
Yes.
That's a camera that's watching us, right? This audio, is there audio also? No audio? Not audio? There isn't. Oh, I shouldn't say that, right? I had a guy work, someone I know, he put in, he told me, want audio? I said, yeah, they do such things? They do audio? So he says, in New York City, it's illegal. It's illegal to do audio unless you let people know that the sound is being recorded. But they all do it anyway. Everyone, they do the audio, even though you're not allowed. So the camera...
They switch it off.
What?
They switch it off.
They don't switch it off. He says they do. He says it's still, they're going to probably change the law at some point in time. Just like you're allowed to have cameras, so why can't you have audio? Hear what people are saying also. What?
Read by lips.
Not everyone can read lips. Okay, but Potsk is coming up to tell you that everything that you do is recorded. She'im adam oisem mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah, do it already. Do it b'levav sholem. Here comes the scary words. You've all heard this at some point in time. She'ilu hoya ruvein yoideya she'akadosh baruch hu machtiv olav, that Hashem would write about him. Vayishma ruvein vayatzilehu miyadam, that Ruvein got up and he saved Yosef. They were about to murder Yosef in cold blood, and he saved them. Al tishbichu dam, throw him in the pit. Leman hatziloi la'aviv. If he knew that it was being recorded for time immemorial, what would he have done? He would have taken him on his shoulders. He would have picked him up on his shoulders and carried him like at a wedding. Carried him with brought him back home. The ilu hayo the Aaron. If Aaron Akoyin would have known that when he greeted Moshe Rabbeinu, that it would write about him, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Machtav Olav, Hinehu Yotze Likrasecha V'Racha V'Samach B'Liboy, that your brother Aaron is going to come and greet you, and it's going to be happy. Aaron would have come with an orchestra, a band, right? He would be sum lim choylois hayotze likraso. And here comes the part that we need for our pasuk: the ilu hayo the boyas. Had this, the third part, it's amazing. Chazal only gave three examples. You can go through the whole Tanakh. Okay, there's no limit to how many examples you can find in Tanakh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu recording good deeds. Good deeds. And this is the third example. That's the whole Medrash. Ilu ha yodeh boyas. Shakadosh Baruch Hu machtiv olav. Vayitzpot lo koli. That he gave her koli. Vatoichal vatispa vatoisar. Agolois mifutamos hoyem achila. He would have served her kisuda shleima v'shaita. They would have rolled out a vini's table. Can you imagine what he would have brought out? Because here the Torah is going to record for all time his ma'isim tovim. Now, obviously, I'm not prepared for this medrash. Maybe at some other point in time, the significance and why Chazal gave specifically these three examples. These three examples somehow are koilel. They encompass all the possible facets, dimensions of good deeds.
The first two events are recording something that no one can see. Samach believer, how do you know?
The Samach, only Hashem knows.
And the other one also.
And the first idea wasn't even successful. He really wanted to save Yosef. And he was unsuccessful. He saved him from dying, but he was not able to go 100%. Even that is kedai. Even if you're not fully successful, here he was successful. He fed her. He gave her food. He accomplished. She was satisfied. Vatoichal vatoisar, and it was noticeable. Everyone saw. It was begoloi. The first example was a failure, and yet it still counted as a good deed. Because he did, he was a partial success. But the point is, the Chazal are giving us three examples. They're teaching us different dimensions of chesed.
Right.
The first example was only a partial success. His plan was to save her entirely. That was not successful. It was only partially successful.
Hindsight view.
Right. in hindsight view. And the second was, like you said, it was true, it was a chesed, but it was not something which couldn't have been known by anyone. It was hidden. And the third example is something which everyone saw. He gave her, she ate, she was satisfied, she even left over. So he did something good for her. So what do you want from me? What could I have done? The quality of the food could have been better. Could have been a golos mefutim, fat and calves. There's more that could have been done. Okay, this everyone has a different twist. I never really found something that I really had satisfaction understanding the depth of. It's a lot of different ideas. I'm not going to repeat anything, but it's an idea and it's something to take note of. Pasuk is recording what he did. Had he known, he would have done for her even more. Okay, we'll stop over here.